Welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovka Badoo podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And of course I didn't listen to the debate.
Did you? I bet you did, didn't you?
No, I didn't. 3 o'clock in the morning, well, two old guys shouting about, I don't know, things. No.
I mean, some people will be listening to this at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's too just... Well, I'm going to say for me, slightly middle-aged bloke yelling about things.
Sleepy but... David Schmidt.
All right, I'll be him
if
you're Trump then.
Oh, dearie me.
All right, let's not go there. Anyway.
move on. What's on? What are we doing today, David?
Well, we've got an absolute shit ton of stuff to get through. So shut up, old man. or shut up, man, whatever it was he said. Anyway, so we've got loads of stuff to go through. We have trips to Olomouc and Plzeň. We've got Beer of the Podcast. We've got your friend and mine, Jakub Černin. We've got a preview of Karviná and a little bit of Jihlava, maybe for the cup, a little couple of minutes of Jihlava. We've got a very good outro, and we have the return of both Rabbit's Review and Railway Station Jingles.
Wow.
It promises to be a packed programme tonight. So let's get on with it. Hooray! Sigma, foy. Was the cry from, well, not that kid that I mentioned last week because he wasn't there, but Sigma Fui generally, a tale of, well, for 6 goals, in fact, a very, very inexperienced starting lineup in a 3-5-2, which eventually led to our inevitable downfall. Mm-hmm. I think that sums that up pretty well.
Great, we can move on then.
I'm afraid not. We have to pick it apart a little bit.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I mean, I was there, so I should remember. I did, when you just did the intro going, we're talking about Sigma Olomouc, so I was like, oh yeah, that game.
That happened, didn't it? Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting spectacle, generally speaking, actually. Like you said, the return of the 3-5-2 and not through any real... tactical thing, but just the
sheer lack of players.
Don't have defenders.
Yeah. In fact, we started with a back three of Sedlak, Hlavica and Černin. Then the five across midfield were Honza Hladík, Ondra Vaněk, Honza Koudelka, Pachlotník and Šumbura, and then the regular front two of Tukistal and Rusek. And it started actually pretty well.
It started pretty well. I mean, Sigma did hit the post in the second minute.
Yeah.
But...
And then
generally, well, it looked like, oh my god, we kept shape for a bit. It was very strange like that.
I mean, after 4 minutes, Prikistal had a chance, and then after 9 minutes, he had another chance. Pachlotník down the right hand side, back inside the Šumbura, lays it off to Prikistal, and a slightly scrappy 1-0, but they all count. So, yeah, that was a good, you know, nice start. And then it looked like we, you know, we're actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, I thought that probably for the. Hitting the post aside, Sigma Olomouc looked really poor for the first half an hour. Mm-hmm. That might be due to the... I've been watching the debate, obviously. Probably due to the fact that five in the middle pretty much just stifled the 4-3-3 that Sigma were operating under.
Yeah, however, they then worked out the best way to do it was ball over the top because we were playing quite high and we had three very inexperienced defenders and two on each side of our midfield who are not... wing-backs, really.
Yes.
So that was how their equaliser came. It was a counter-attack led by Nešpor, who slipped the ball through to the unusually named Gresh Shark, who has a double sh in the middle of his name, which I'm very much against. It's really annoying to pronounce. And yeah, he sort of just sort of slotted the ball home past a sort of, you know, bemused no man's land floater, didn't he, really?
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing that probably became very evident throughout the game, was that, as you say, that sort of pocket between your back three and where a wing back probably should be was mainly the attacking areas that Sigma were possessing. Like, a lot of free kicks we conceded in that area. There was a lot of attempts to track back that didn't really work. There was a few times that they were able to slip the ball through and we got, to an extent, lucky because they've not been able to get the final product sort of like into a goal-scoring position or, you know, it's been sort of caught by the goalkeeper. But, I mean, going into the half... one each wasn't actually terrible.
No, it was decent.
I think it was as good a half of football as we've maybe played so far in the season.
Yes, yeah, it was very impressive. And when we began the second half, again, we came out traps pretty quickly, and 2-1 was absolutely deserved 10 minutes in, mm-hmm. I felt. What I very much enjoyed about this is the half starts with a very good chance for Rusek. He's put through by Pakhlotnik again, I think. And he's sort of to the left-hand side of the penalty area, gets it and dawdles. And Mandos is out very quickly to block what ends up being a fairly tame effort from Rusek. Mm-hmm. However, 2 minutes later, the exact same thing happens and he makes absolutely no mistake.
Yeah.
Fires it in off the far post, and his celebration, like right in front of us, and the fans have just, wah! Like mm-hmm. really gone. Like, that is a man who, missing a chance or you know, a very weak effort with a bit of a dawdle and a bit of a panic 2 minutes before, exactly the same situation later, and he really sticks it away with a bit of emphasis. Like, this is a man playing with confidence.
Yeah, here, pumped people up.
Yeah, it really
especially
did,
because
it?
I mean, this, that, and the Prihi goal are the first times that we've been ahead mm-hmm. in the first league since the season began, and maybe the big problem for that was, and this is a personal failing. And I'm old enough and I've seen enough of this team to know better. But at that point, I was quite sort of, you know, feeling quite good and going, we're going to take something out of this game, at least a point.
Yeah.
10 minutes later.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, Jakub Aleksejevich Chernin takes a break from ice fishing in a hockey rink and rises like a salmon he failed to catch. As a corner comes in and absolutely wallops ahead of past his own goalkeeper.
It's a great finish.
It's a hell of a leap, isn't it? Dear me.
He is.
what a finish it is. He's
but, head and shoulders above everybody.
I mean, he's a big lad, but he really gets up and, thumps ahead of past Flutter. And that's 2-2. Yeah,
that was, I mean, it was just bizarre. There was just sort of like, there was a sort of a combination of oh fuck's sake and stunned silence at that.
Yeah.
And from then on, you're like, okay, we need some time to regroup, because at that point, Zbrojovka, first league, started to show every so often. There was quite a lot of misplayed passes, people not, you know, working hard enough to get into space, get second balls and so on. You felt they needed to calm down, sort of regroup. Because there'd been enough showing on the day so far to think that you could really take the game to Sigma and then maybe go on to...
Yeah, exactly. If you said, something. if we could regroup and gain control of the game in midfield again, that would have been great.
Once again, a Sigma side that didn't look anything near like their performance in the league so far had suggested.
Yeah, I was expecting a lot more of them, seeing as they'd been sort of swatting 3 and 4 past people recently. But I mean, they eventually did stick four past us. Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
But, we did not take control in midfield, because what happened then was Rusek actually has a decent chance for a second, and then the referee pulls it back for a foul by Vaniek, and this is where a bit of immaturity and a bit of lack of experience comes in, but most of all, it comes in from somebody who should know better, which is Vaniek, who got nobbled for the foul in the first place. Mm-hmm. Everybody stops, including Vaniek, who should know far better. Olomouc take a quick free kick. Vaniek is still pacing after the referee and yelling and bollocking and just not making any effort, and nobody else is making any effort. So the quick free kick goes through and Falter gets on the end of it, and it's 3-2, basically. And it's just, it's a bit of a...
I mean, he's right. It's not a foul.
But play to the whistle, Sam.
I know it's
not a foul, but that, from the most experienced player and the player who's played at the highest level, is absolutely inexcusable for me. It's not a foul, but...
I don't even know if it was really Vanya's problem as much as it was that the back three just completely just fell asleep, and I don't know what they were trying to do. when that happened. It was just looked like an, for me, it was defensive cock-up rather than Vaněk.
Yeah, but my point still stands. Yeah. I think that, you know, you've got half an hour to go in a game where, as you said, we need to get back control of the midfield. He should be the person responsible for that. Yeah. And just petulantly striding after the... Not even... Just let it go. Get on with it.
Or was it an example. Or was it actually the fourth that was the defensive cock-up?
They were...
That was not the answer.
The last one, was actually tops off Chernin's bad day. He slips and misses an interception, and it goes through to Živčák.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm getting my. I mean, I just forgot about that third goal. I assume because I've had it erased from my memory.
Yeah. So yeah, Chernin not having the best day he'll ever have. Yeah.
Just see everything that I said there. Just apply it to that goal, listener.
Yeah. Živčák goes through, and with 15 minutes to go, that's pretty much your lot, unfortunately.
Yes, and what we were saying at the end of it anyway is some people were extremely miffed at this result. I don't know if I was as much as sort of just very disappointed, because I think we'd shown enough that we could have really got something out of it, and it really was our own mistakes that ended up costing us. But again, this was a very experimental team which was reacting to some horrible problems that we've had sort of off the pitch in terms of player injury. Yeah. Also, there was
ban in the case of Stefanovski.
I mean, there was five players out with COVID symptoms as well. Let's not forget that. There's obviously, and the right to not say which players have had it or whatever, but it was really noticeable that you had a starting 11 and a bench without the likes of Adam Fosek, without the likes of Marek Winter, who is often used as an impact sub, strong possibilities that they're having to self-isolate. So we really weren't at our strength. But it's very strange that I think that the two games that we've played best this season, that and the Bohemka game where we got a point, were highly experimental teams with players coming back, etc. It's very strange. We're going down the hole now of partly from necessity and partly because of tactics, that we're going to be seeing a very different 11, I think, every week until we get a win. And then it's going to be repeated. So I don't really know how I feel about this.
I am not for it, I have to say. Not right now.
No, I wasn't. I mean, this goes back to our last podcast where we were talking about Mihalić's comments that he's going to switch things up a little for each opponent. And it's like, well, I mean, you don't really need to, because we're not a tricky team, you know, in the, you know, sixth or seventh in La Liga who have these little overlapping centre backs or these sort of tricks and false this, that and the next things. It's, you just need a team that can actually play a ball, get the ball in the box and get goals.
Yeah, every time we played well last season, I know that's a totally different league, but every time we played well last season, it was because we were very well drilled and we knew exactly what we were doing.
Yes.
As we said, there was somebody who had a particularly bad day against Sigma. And so I'm going to give him a slightly better time now, which is nice, isn't it? Jakub Alexeyevich Chernin had worked hard for a number of years. He was now one of the most respected workers at Ulyanovsk's Tractor Production Soviet No. 702.
Fuck's sake.
And so he and two colleagues, Dmitry Anatolievich Alenichev and Alexander Vladimirovich Mostovoy.
Yes.
Problem?
No.
Were sent away on business. To this end, they were permitted to stay at Omsk Sleep and Recreation Facility No. 427 overnight.
Wasn't that a womble?
No, oh, Tomsk was a womble. Omsk has a sleep and recreation facility. Or hotel. In the evening, the talk turned to politics. Presently, the wary Jakub Alexeyevich advised caution. You never know who might be listening. Spies, traitors, or worse, our own leaders.
Jesus Christ.
His colleagues dismissed this with an airy wave. Ah, you worry too much, they smiled. This irked Yakub Alexeyevich, who decided to play a joke on them to regain his honour. Excusing himself, he made his way downstairs where he asked the receptionist to bring 3 glasses of vodka in precisely 15 minutes. Returning to find his friends still discussing politics, at the right moment he leaned forward and spoke clearly into a flower pot that was standing on the dresser. Comrade Major, could you bring us 3 glasses of vodka? Sure enough, within seconds, the receptionist arrived with the vodka. Alenichev and Mostovoy both turned white as a sheet, gulped down their vodka and slipped silently out of the room to bed. Satisfied with his joke, Yakub Alexeyevich went to sleep with a smile. The next morning, our protagonist awakes to find his friends gone. Concerned, he goes to ask at reception of their whereabouts. They were arrested in the night, says the receptionist matter-of-factly. You would have been arrested too, but the comrade major very much enjoyed your joke.
That, like, does he have a time machine? He goes between the 19th and 20th centuries so
he does.
Easily.
He's a remarkable fellow.
He's just...
He really is. He's.
I mean, jokes at that time really were shite, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. I mean, these are genuine, like, Soviet-era jokes. So, you know, I'm a lot fun... No, I'm not. That's a lie.
I like how you were going to cheer him up for his performance against Sigma Olimos, and it turns out you cheer him up with the story about his mates getting arrested.
He wasn't.
Great.
Exactly. His friends Koudelka and Sedlak, they're, well, in this case, Mostovoy and Alenichev, was it? Yes. Those late 90s Spanish football heroes. Anyway, I think I need a drink after that. What do you reckon?
Aye, go for it. Euler
of the podcast. Now, on the train back from Pulzeten, you were bemoaning the fact slightly that even though Brno is a very, very super foodie city, there's one type of food, or takeaway food, you didn't think we did very well here, which was...
Chinese food.
Chinese, yes.
That's not Brno. That's the entire country.
Ah, right, I see. Okay.
No good, like, my idea of a Chinese, which is nothing like the stuff they eat in China.
Right.
But the stuff you have on a Friday night.
Right, okay, know? I see, yes. Because I would say if you do ever visit Brno, as food cities go, this is, I would say, the best in the Czech Republic. There's a lot of everything.
Is this a prelude to a Chinese beer?
Not exactly.
Is that a sweet and sour beer?
Now, this is a combination. This is a collaboration between Raven of Pulzen and Zichovets.
Oh, okay.
So, may I present you Mango Sticky Rice Beer.
Ooh.
Yes.
Is mango- that a 17 in the sense of it being
Of it being 7% alcohol, yeah.
7% alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Mango Sticky Rice Beer. I have no idea what to expect about this.
I eat a lot of sticky rice, actually.
This is this was actually suggested to me by the owner of the Oranjova pub in Lishen, where I went to get this, which was the home of delicious cupcake beer.
Was it rice to meet him?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Reminded me of my Uncle Ben.
Was it also as racist as those old Uncle Ben adverts? So did he recommend the sticky rice beer to you, and then 1,000 Chinese people on bicycles came past?
He was disclaimer, this is a lie. He was so racist I had to smother him with a pillow.
Just before people start thinking that we're culturally insensitive, I believe that sticky rice is actually more of a Southeast Asian thing, particularly in Vietnam and Laos. Or Laos? Or Lois? I say Laos.
I don't know. Anyway.
Louise. Remember Louise?
Louise,
had
as
that,
in...
Had that pop career for a bit.
As in Mrs. Redknapp.
Yes, turned up at an Aberdeen game once with an Aberdeen top on and was apparently a celebrity fan for about 5 minutes. Never heard of her again.
That's nice, isn't it? Anyway,
mango
sticky rice beer. It's very, very, very thickly yellow coloured. You said it looked like Fanta, and it does look exactly like Fanta.
It smells exactly like a Rubicon.
Oh, yes, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
For our friends back in the UK and not in the Czech Republic, because I don't think you get Rubicon here. I hope it tastes of rice. I really do.
That would be really bizarre. Just here we go. Think on that. Here we go.
I immediately know that 7%, man. That's got a real kick. Wow.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's, like, coconut.
Yes. Very coconutty, isn't it? But on the end, it's very aggressive on the end, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
That is...
I'm not a massive fan of that. It might be a grower. But I'm not sure. It's more coconut than anything. It's slightly mango-y, but then it gets very sort of, I don't know, sort of gloopily sharp is the only way I can describe it. And then it's sort of a bit aggressively nothing on the end.
Can I offer a slight left of centre comparison?
Go on, yeah, of course you may.
Right, do you remember Charlie Chalk?
He's got a funny way of walking and a wacky way of talking.
Yes, there was an episode of Charlie Chalk.
This is going to be good.
Where they were all talking about, because they're all like on this island, I think the Marooned or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And they all talk about how they miss all the food from back home, like cakes and cheese and roasts or whatever. And Charlie Chalk or somebody associated with Mr. Chalk makes them all this dinner, and it's all this spread, and it's like, wow, it's got real cheese and it's all this and stuff like that, and everything tastes of bananas and coconut because all they have is bananas and coconut, so they made everything and it looks all like cheese, but it's actually just bananas and coconut. This is what I'd imagine would have been served at that party under the guise of it being lager.
Yeah, I can see that. By the way, on that show, I can't imagine how Trader Jones was getting any of his business. You know, if he was getting supply ships in to restock his little shack, surely they could have been rescued. That's a scam.
We're going to have to write in.
Yeah.
Dear defunct cartoon programme.
Yeah, dear Mr. We're Chalk.
We run a small podcast out of a city in South Moravia.
Yeah. We think the following things are wrong with your premise.
I was disappointed to note, comma.
Yes.
That's a really interesting beer. It is no blueberry... muffin
cake cupcake
thing,
sour pastry sour. No, it really
isn't.
It's
an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, it is interesting. So we're going to move from something interesting into something even more interesting for me, at least. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the return of railway station jingles.
Oh my god.
It is indeed time again, after a year off, for a bit of railway station jingle action, and I could not be more pleased.
So old now, since we did the jingles, that the jingles no longer exist.
Yes,
of course.
The Ceske Drahi, the soulless bastards, have removed all the individual jingles from the station, but that has not stopped those. Yes, yeah. And those good folks at Nadrazhny Hlasheny from keeping their website up and running. So Plzeň has a piece of music called Plzeňská věž převyšuje kopce, which means the tower in Plzeň overlooks the hills, I think is the closest translation you could get, which... I mean, I suppose it does. They do have a good tower on a church, etc. The railway station section sounds like this. Which is a weird sort of doesn't-really-go-anywhere sort of noise. But the original is full of... Well, it sounds like this. Yes, What instruments do you think are going on there? Because I think there's a hurdy-gurdy in the background.
It sounds exactly like one.
But I have no idea what is going on over the top. Some kind of...
Were hurdy-gurdies a thing here?
I don't know. Because it also sounds quite bagpipey. And they did have sort of bagpipey things.
I'd say more of a gurdy, just because... Hurdy-gurdy, they were quite popular, I believe, in Austria.
Really?
No, Hungary, even. You can still get... I think there's quite a famous hurdy-gurdy manufacturer that's still there.
Oh, okay.
I've seen some videos of people playing them online, and they look like such a laugh. And, you know, to the point you go, wouldn't mind picking up a cheap one of those and, or, you know, and giving it a go.
It's just a drone, isn't it? Like a handle. You turn the handle, it gives
you... crank a handle, and then it has keys, almost like an accordion to an extent. Okay. It's like 7 or 8 keys on it. And so on. The problem is that they're quite rare. They're very, very difficult to manufacture, and they're all pretty much handcrafted. So you are not getting one for less than about €1,500.
Wow!
Because I looked, because okay. I was like, if I could get one for like 300 or something, just as a laugh thing, you know, in the same way I have an Omnicord.
Yeah.
Like just not necessarily to make music that I'm going to record, but just to have a laugh with, and it was like. No, I guess it's a little bit too much because, you know, that's the price of a Gibson Les Paul.
Yeah.
So, no. Yeah. No thanks.
Did we like Pilsen as a town?
I really liked Pilsen
as a town. Yeah,
me too. I thought it was... I think you were saying it was very much like Česká Budějovice, and I was inclined to agree.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of really nice spots. I think I'd like to go back and do it... properly in the like not in the sense that we weren't doing it properly, but we basically went there, saw a couple of sites, and were just drinking.
It'd be a lot nicer had the weather been better, like if there had been outdoor pubs and things to go
if
to. I think it would have been really nice. Yeah,
it would have been lovely. It still was lovely, quite affordable. I felt the brewery had some nice beer, I guess, and general food fare.
Yeah. Interesting church. I think it's the Church of St. Bartholomew, I think, which only has one spire now. It's a sort of slightly lopsided looking thing if you Google it, because one of the spires was hit by lightning a few hundred years ago, and unfortunately nobody ran a cable down it to a DeLorean, so there was no time travel involved, unfortunately, they never bothered to rebuild it. They just kept it looking a bit lopsided. The other interesting religious structure is... it is apparently home to the third largest synagogue outside the kind of, you know, traditional sort of Jewish world. It's after New York is the largest.
Mm-hmm.
Then Budapest, weirdly, is the second. And Pilsen, for reasons unknown, is the third. We didn't get to see it, but it is a mighty edifice.
Reasons unknown. I mean, I'm assuming a lot of Jews used to live there.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like, it just seems, you know, why not? Prague, or why not? You know, I don't know.
True.
It just seems a slightly more unlikely place.
Yeah, because like Brno's synagogue is quite small, isn't
it?
So
there we go. That's your Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
We did eat some food.
We did.
At Nashvilleze, at the brewery.
Because, yeah, you sort of have to, don't you, if you're in Pilsen. You have to go to the original source of the original source.
Yes, so. Exactly, yeah. So we did a very brief one of these. Here we are in Pilsen then with the first Rabbits review of the new season, except it's not. It is
a Vepřový Plets, David. But we are taking... it's been a hot minute since we did a review of some of the delicacies available. Here at Nashvilleze in Pilsen, authentic cutlery noises and eating things. I'm going to get right into it because it's probably very loud and we're probably not going to use this at all.
You've got your selection of dumplings there as well.
Nice. Oh my God, that's very good. That's very good. Good use of the caraway seeds going through it. Pork as soft as you want, you know, good. I mean, not the most amazing dumplings in the world, but they'll certainly do. And came lightning fast, actually. Yes. I think we 5 minutes ago, if that. So,
well, there it is, the first Rabbits review of the season. Thank you, and this.
Rabbits.
So that was fairly delicious. I think you enjoyed your plets, would you say?
It's been a hot minute since we did an approximation of a Rabbits review.
Indeed.
Ever since we said that we were going to do it as a thing on a podcast,
we've never got a chance to do it.
We've been able to get one of them.
Yeah.
And that's been it. Nowhere else we have been has offered it on the menu.
Yeah. The ribs were okay, but not as good as, I would say, oddly, Prosteyov.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the pickles. The bowl of pickles on the side, which the pickles I was
were,
given.
Pickles were the greatest
pickles I've eaten, I think. They were, oh, so good.
The ribs were decent, not as good as in Prosteyov, and not as good as Uchapa in Brno. Still, I think, the finest source of ribs.
And of course, home of the Chapuslav as
oh,
well.
Oh, the Chapuslav. Oh, baby.
The coleslaw accoutrement.
Anyway, I'll tell you what was not tasty.
The game.
In my head, she'll probably chop it off. She says she likes a man all to be vacant. Well, she's still in love, mistaken. Keep it up, yeah, she got posture. I get dry, and she got moisture. This is like you won't believe. This is like you won't. Well, that was a bit of the song Victoria Pulls In by a band called Pisky Sits, which I have never heard of, but our friend John Griffiths recommended that we listen to, and it's jolly good.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the football club.
No.
But it just has the name Victoria, so why not use that as a name?
Yes, I guess we're going to talk a little bit about the game against Victoria Pilsen now, and it would be remiss to not mention that we took in the game in a rather different way than we would normally do.
Yes, outside the ground.
Yes.
Not even outside the away sector, just away, outside a bit.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
It actually was kind of fun. It's the best football match I've never seen.
Yeah.
or the best football experience I've never had, I suppose.
It's a bit like going back to the scathing review of Tim Lovejoy's book, where he says his favourite player of all time is Johan Cruyff, and then admits that he's only ever seen the Cruyff turn.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that, I guess, in the football sense. We had already planned to go to Pilsen before the announcement that there were going to be no away fans there.
On Friday, thanks for that.
And we decided rather than to cancel everything to go anyway.
Yeah.
And then we're still a bit unsure about if the 2,500 limit of spectators was actually a percentage of stand thing like it was a few weeks ago. Turns out it's not, and I think it's now 2,000. But we went down to the ground anyway, just in case there was something on the door or a chance to get a ticket. And it turns out that we were not the only Zborovka fans there.
Yeah, I think of Brignazzi there would have been 15 probably.
15, some of the usual suspects.
Yeah.
And very nice to see some of our friends who we have met already on at Zbrojovka Games, who are supporters of Victoria themselves and who occasionally come and watch us play. So very nice to connect with them again, he says, using LinkedIn terminology.
Yeah.
No, it was thanks nice. For reaching
it was,
out.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was
convivial.
Lots of Zdar, our gentlemen, how are you? Lots of that going
on. Too
many
people calling
nice.
Me English for my liking.
Yeah, well, that's true, yes. And also a very big shout out to Ben, our new footballing mate, who bravely took the journey with us despite eventually knowing he wouldn't actually get to see a game, but he came anyway.
He's put a lot of trust in this as well, because he's coming to Carvina on...
He's not coming to Carvina, he's coming to the game. But...
No, he's going to go to Carvina, he's going to stand outside the stadium. It's happening.
Yeah, he's got our trust now, we can tell him anything. Yeah. we didn't see the game. However, there is video available online if you want to see it. Now, I'm going to give you the lineup, including a sound effect that I'm going to add in whenever I now mention this guy's name. You'll know it when it appears, because it will appear. So we started actually with Schuster in goal rather than Floda, which I don't know why that happened, but it did. And we started with a back four of...
can we just take a moment there to just be like... We started with a back four, because I think that's kind of significant.
Well, now, the idea was, you remember when we were talking about the Olomouc game, when you said there was a lot of space in where the wing back should be?
Yes.
Because we were playing a three. This, I think, was a reaction to that. Mm-hmm. As you will see in some minutes, it did not fucking work at all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, our back four was Stepanovski, Zoran
Gajic.
Yeah, that's Zoran Gajic, our new big Serb defender. Hlavica and Šural, an actual back four of actual back four players. Then Pachlotnik, Vaniek, Sedlak, new signing Reiter on loan from
Banik Ostrava.
Mr. Reiter.
Are these the sound effects? I thought you were going to put them in.
That's two.
Put them in via your mouth.
When you get the edit back, you hear the sound effects. I can't do them live, but oh, baby.
Do you know what that's worth? Ooh, heaven's a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. Who made heaven a place on earth?
When you hear this back, I'll have put that in as well. Nice. Anyway, you're getting an insight into how this very professional podcast works.
You'd think I'd know after about 2 years of it.
Flickistal and Rusek.
Straight out of the box, I thought that team was okay.
Yeah.
Except for Schuster, which I had the same misgivings of you. It was very much, it was giving me Pavel Schuster vibes of I'm playing whoever reacts best to training stuff. And I don't know if it was because notionally Floder let in four goals, arguably not his fault, and this is just going to keep happening. But we've done it a couple of times this season. We've had Schuster in for spurious reasons.
Thing is, I think teams have already sussed him out. He's not a catcher. Mm-hmm. He's not a catcher. If you just keep peppering him with shots.
We're going to talk about the game in a second, I know, but can I just point out as well that Fortuna had him as the man of the match for Zbrojovka? Martin Schuster.
For Zbrojovka, not the man of the match, obviously.
Yeah. Well, they give two men of the match. So one for the winning team, one for the
overall,
losing team.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. The weird thing is that's probably fair because of how utterly, utterly awful the rest of them were. But yeah, anyway. We heard the end of the, what I guess is the Victoria Pilsen anthem, and then a cheer went up as the game kicked off. And then a minute later, a bigger cheer went up as Victoria Pilsen went 1-0 up immediately. I put on Facebook, it's 30 seconds in, and that's what, 1-0 after 30 seconds? Your friend of mine, Marek Fischer, replied, 65. Mm-hmm. He knows what's going on. Anyway, it was such a simple goal. It was just Pavel Bucha down the left, squares it. Aleš Čermák runs from midfield, slots it in from 10 yards out. What an easier goal you will rarely see.
I was immediately upset watching these. And actually, I put it up on Twitter, like a video of my reaction to this. It annoys me because, you know, we were talking about that pocket.
Yeah.
Yep. And then also, like... how many times are we going to have someone just completely unmarked in a box this season? Because I think it's been at least 6 or 7 times that we've conceded like very similar sort of things like that because someone hasn't been getting picked up.
Yeah, runners from midfield.
Becoming a fucking theme, man. I did quite like Priestdale's sort of like lunge to it and made him slide off the pitch almost trying to get the ball. And that just showed how bad it was, really. And then, yeah.
Actually, one thing we can see from this opening goal, which and the sort of a couple of minutes of highlights that follow, is our one massive failing in this game, and it has been a failing in a lot of other games as well, is no pressure on the ball whatsoever.
Yeah.
Bull's end are, like, when players get the ball, they're allowed 3, 4, 5 touches before they even have to look up and make a decision. It's really just, it's so amateurish. There's no positional sense. There's very little actually, you know, one-to-one marking. There is a thing on the highlights where they do a kind of comedy Benny Hill fast forward of a Pulls End player, I can't remember who it is, running from basically their corner flag about 70 yards and nobody coming within 15 yards of him the whole run. It's utterly ridiculous.
I think I told you this at the time, but can you remember the percentage of possession that Borja Bruno had in the first half?
Was it below 20?
Not quite. It was 25%.
Yes.
Overall, we had 35%.
It's not good,
in the 19
is it?
Minutes. No, it's not good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this manifests itself in there was a massive miss from Jean-David Bojel, who, if he'd had his shooting boots on, could have had a hat trick.
He's a fucking unreal today. Footballer. Can I just put that out there? He's a fucking unreal footballer. I think that Victoria Pilsen squad is going to finish third, right?
Yeah.
I think they're two better teams in it. But that team is still, fuck me,
it
that's
is,
a good
it
team.
It is good.
And like they absolutely just swatted past those Danish mob in Europe. No, Midtjylland is Slavia.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
This is Sondreske, I think.
Sondreske, that's
with
right.
With the big
yeah.
E at the
that's
end of
right,
it. They
yeah.
3-0'd them, I think. 3-0'd, 3-0'd. I'm getting all the American stuff in today. And they just look good.
Yeah, they do. We go 2-0 down. A very nice finish from Honza Kopits, actually, after a flicked header over the top from that man, Bucha, again. Second assist for him.
Who was Fortuna's man of the match,
That's not a surprise, yeah.
Again, I don't want to go on and on and on about our defence, but how many times has that also been a goal this season already? Popping one over the back.
Mm. Yeah, and again, like, it's this... It's this weird combination of no pressure and the wrong pressure, because all the pressure is on Bucha, who has his back to goal and has the easiest job in the world to just flick it over the back.
Yeah.
Like he's big, and then that massive gap between defence and goalkeeper, Kopits runs through. It's a nice finish, by the way. It's a very clean slot home. But yeah, dear me.
Yeah, it's all the defensive stuff is all getting a bit Eric Andre with the gun going, who could have done this? You know, like,
did you also? I also noticed, by the way, the absolute last person to keep running, because once Kopits was through, basically everybody stopped and just let him go. The only person back, the person at left centre back was Reiter, hurling himself in. He clearly knows he wants to play. And he knows what it takes at this level.
He looked okay.
Yeah.
We had a couple of wee chances and bits and pieces where he was seemed to be the one advancing the ball.
Yeah, he did a lovely thing towards the end of the first half where he sort of tricked his way into the box, squared it, Stefanovski couldn't do anything with it. But basically, we go in at halftime 2-0 down. We get a bizarre penalty where... Oh, sorry, they get a very bizarre penalty at the start of the second half where Zoran clips Kopit's ankle. It's a weird one.
I thought it was supposed to be some sort of elbow or something. I don't know why they were VARing it.
I couldn't work out what it was because neither of them were looking at the ball. Kopit's was sort of already going down and Zoran just... He just nicks his ankle, but he's not looking towards him. He's not looking to... Like, it's a...
How can you VAR
it's
it?
It's a racing incident, as
How
far
you
as
VAR
I'm concerned.
It, like, 10 times and think it's a penalty? I don't understand why that is you know, some sort of penalty.
And Rusek's obvious handball in the area is not.
Is that a penalty as well, though? I think it probably is.
I think it is,
because
yeah.
Because it's just a lack of control on Rusek's part, because it goes off his foot right into his arm. And yeah. I mean, not even like, you know, a wee glance, whatever. It's like,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
And then there's a massive shout as well, and the referee just waves it.
Yeah, it's very weird. Bojel scores the penalty.
Like, Schuster almost got it as well. Yeah, it wriggled under his body, man. Yeah. I felt really bad for him, man, because I think that would have been something to take away from the
game. So we're 3-0 down. Hladík, with some absolute opportunism, gets us back to 3-1. It's a tricky little finish.
Can I just point out there that when Hladík scores that goal, he looks absolutely fucking delighted.
Does, doesn't
he? And, like, full of sort of energy and a bit of sort of belief.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, Jan Hladík who came on in the second half, mm-hmm. right? Like, if, like, we're going to need people that care, I think, because the one thing that put us in this, like, I mean, it's very early in the season, right? But one thing that when we went down last time was it got to about the last 10 matches and nobody cared.
Mm.
Like, I mean, the fans stopped caring at some points. It was just like inevitable. Like, we're going to need people to actually have that hashtag belief going through the season if we're going to get anything.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're doing it for selfish reasons, because, I mean, this is Hladík, basically, it's, I mean, we were saying he's 27, 28, and this is his first shot at...
If he can
the first league, if he wants to perform even for himself and can drag us out of this, I'm fine with that.
If he gets 8 or 9 goals this season, as he'll probably try and fancy himself to do, he's going to be up there with our top scorers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Who will be around that level, I think.
Yeah. We get about 3-1, and then it really truly is, if it wasn't before, game over when Ariel Balois, who has only been on for 6 minutes, gets free down the right, comes to the far side of the box, puts it all the way across the box for Tomáš Horváth to score the goal of the game by a very long way, with a beautifully guided first-time volley back across the goal, in at the far post. It's a lovely finish.
800k well spent, maybe, on Balois.
Indeed, yes. 800k well spent indeed. So that was that then, really, wasn't it?
When you have players like that coming off the bench, you know it's a problem. Like, so, do you want silver linings?
Yeah, go on.
Because we've played Sparta and Pilden. We've only got Slavia to worry about of the big, big guns.
Yeah.
If you would like a less... if you would like, you know, to counter that...
Just linings.
Yeah, we've also conceded more goals than any other team in the league so far. Well, we have conceded 15 goals.
Yeah.
I think second is somebody like Zlín or someone like that with 11.
Mm.
It's not good at the moment. And I don't want to carp on about this because I've done this for how many games, how many podcasts are we in? Is this our third
episode
one?
Three of this season.
So every single time, I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. We can't defend.
Yes. That's definitely a not, but should we take some other hots as well?
Oh yeah, that's a section, isn't it?
Yeah, should we do that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's make this a hive of positivity. Yes.
You look really confused for a minute.
I don't know. It's the sticky rice is getting to me, maybe.
Right, hot or not next. Can you tell me what you think is hot or not? Can you tell me what you think is hot or not? If you listen regularly, you should know instinctively. Here's the bit we say what's hot or not. That was pretty rubbish. Do you even know? I don't even know the name of that song, but it's a popular sort of chant.
Is it not just She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain?
She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain. It isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, she'll be riding 6 white horses or something. Yeah, all right, fair enough, yeah. How many do you have?
One of each.
Yes, me too. Okay.
Okay, one of each. Mine are reasonably short.
So are mine, actually.
Okay, fantastic. Would you like to get us going with a hot?
Yes, I'll give you a hot. Animals on the pitch, Sam.
Uh-huh.
A couple of weeks ago, you know, you said it's really annoying when a good hot or not comes on like a day after we do the podcast.
Yes.
Alpaca on the pitch.
Alpaca?
Yes, in a...
Mexico?
No, in a some kind of Northern League game between Carlton Athletic and Ilkley Town. Some lad's alpaca just runs onto the pitch. Mm-hmm. There's sort of 30 seconds of brilliant footage where you can hear just sort of bizarrely confused laughter and like somebody going, "It's an is that alpaca? What they call alpaca or a llama or something? Do they bite? Do they bite?" as the captain of one of the teams goes to try and shoo it off the pitch.
Really?
So that happened.
We didn't get like a Jimmy Greaves at the World Cup moment where like he tried to capture the alpaca and it pissed all over him or something.
No. But the other one, soon after that...
soon after? There was another one. That was mate.
No, this was Bruna Bentiers or Beatiers of the Brazilian women's national team. During a practice match, a macaw landed on her head.
That's fantastic.
And they, like, one of the sort of lads from the bench had to come on and, using a football, sort of slotted it on top of her head under the parrot's feet so it would have somewhere else to perch.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's how...
So sort of, like, replaced her head with the football.
Oh, I see.
And then... sort of, it got confused and flew off and then landed on the crossbar. So we had to shoo it away again. But yeah, exotic animal pitch invasions is my hot of this
episode. That's a
episode.
Good hot, actually. Good hot, isn't it? That is decent, yes.
Right, give me the opposite. Give me a not.
Okay, mine is getting substituted in the first half.
Right.
So, obviously, one of the worst things...
Always a hilarious stroke.
One of the worst things, right, is to get... happen, yeah. Substituted in the first half.
Yes.
Every professional fears it. But did you hear about what happened to Lauri Sup of Nõmme Kalju of the Estonian League?
Surprisingly. Oh! Yes, I did hear about this. But go on, explain it. I thought it was going to be something that obscure. I mean, it is that obscure, but I have heard about this. But go on anyway.
Yeah, so basically, Nõmme Kalju were playing Levadia Tallinn, who are two of the biggest teams in Estonian football. And what happened was that Lauri Sup, who is 16, got substituted for a guy called Vladislav Homotov in the 13th second of the game.
Yes.
Because the Estonian League has this rule where you have to have two homegrown players starting for you. And most of Nõmme have been isolating due to COVID.
Yeah.
So what happened is they kicked off. It went immediately back to the goalkeeper, who booted it out of play. And then there was a substitution. Now, I tried to have a look around the internet. And I think that this probably is going to be the fastest substitution in the world.
I think it probably is, yeah.
So that's something.
Of all time, you mean?
So, yes. Yeah. So, like, imagine being sort of in the world record, but, you know, in the world record books, but for that as well as...
Well,
the...
he knew what the deal was. I read a thing about the, you know, the manager afterwards saying, like, this was all... Because he was only, like, he's only 16 or something.
Yeah. But still, but I thought that was a curious thing, but I would dislike being... subbed off in the 13th second, and also Nõmme lost 2-1.
Oh, it's a shame. Well, there you go. I'll give you a not.
Go on.
What I was going to do was going to be a very angry and like irritating not about, you know, VAR or COVID or something, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to go into that right now. We all know what the deal is with all of that. So I'm going to go with Grêmio.
Grêmio, yes. Okay, we keep it very, very Brazilian, aren't we, David? So
yes, I mean, it's, you know, Parrots and Grêmio.
So what's up with Grêmio?
Well, almost every Brazilian club has produced a special third shirt because this year is the 125th anniversary of football sort of becoming an organised sport in Brazil.
Okay.
So there's a big celebration of this, right? And loads of other teams have done very kind of classy reimaginings of their badge, either taking it back to the very original badge or doing some kind of nod to it. Grêmio's badge is, it's a sort of a sort of blue circle, and it has the word Gremio across the middle.
And it's blue-black in the back. It's a sort of a little, not too dissimilar to the old Juventus badge in some ways.
Yeah, so it says Gremio across a black thing across the middle of a blue circle that's supposed to represent a football. Anyway, their tribute to this is they've removed the word Gremio and just replaced it with the word foot hyphen ball.
Was that their old name?
No.
Please.
No.
Football. Two towns coming together. It's like Friedrich Mistek.
Yeah. Yeah, it just says football in massive. It's rubbish. That's my knot.
That's not even football in Portuguese.
No, it's not, is it? No, it's useless.
Great.
Yeah. Like, I was really, you know, I didn't want to do something angry, so I found the most flippant knot I could, and I think that's it.
That's good.
All right, give me your final hot.
My hot is Ferencváros qualifying for the Champions League group stage.
Ferencváros.
So
it's my Hungarian for you.
Yeah, like, I mean, it feels increasingly these days that if you get a team from, for example, so the smaller Central European leagues into something like the Champions League group stages, you've somehow, you know, broken into Fort Knox or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Ferencváros, and this is kind of how hard it is to get into the Champions League group stages, is that they were champions of Hungary. They had to beat only the last game is over two legs. So it was in the, I think it's the playoffs onwards that you had two leg games, but they had to beat Djurgården, Celtic, Dinamo Zagreb, and Molde.
That's ridiculous, to get in. Isn't it?
All of those now. All of those are, I think, teams that you tend to beat on the way to get into Europa League anyway. Not Europa League, Champions League. And usually there's a bigger team in there. But that's still a hell of an achievement for a club that last time got into the Champions League in 1995-96 in the groups.
I was going to say, because Ferencváros are one of those clubs that, in my head, like as a kid, they were always, you know, potential banana skin, you know, tricky away tie for a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Etc. And it is ridiculous that a Champions League where the champion of a country has to play how many games?
Four ties. So normally, in non-COVID times, that'd be eight legs.
Yeah. Eight matches to get to the group stage of the Champions League. It's an absolute farce.
It's just nonsense, but...
That sounds like a knot, but it is a hot, because well done, Ferencváros.
It is a hot, yes.
Yes, well done. Anyway, we've got a couple of previews to go. That's Karvinat in the league, and we're not going to look forward to Příbram, I think is the one afterwards, because
we have international break
before then.
So instead of that, you get to enjoy Scotland losing the Czech Republic.
Yes. So we're going to have a quick look at Karvinat after this. So, this Saturday?
Saturday, yes. Saturday at 4:30.
We've got Karvina.
That's the team several months ago you didn't want to touch because they all had COVID.
But now we must touch such a cold. Anyway, carry on.
Big game. Big game for two reasons. Game. One, we need to win, and two, this is going to be the last one we get to see live for some time, because the new, assuming that this isn't overruled by the Chamber of Deputies, the state of emergency in the Czech Republic, which starts on Monday, is going to prohibit spectators at sporting events.
Yeah.
So we need to go and get a result.
Yes.
Karvina weren't great shakes last season, were they?
No, dreadful. Mm-hmm. And hey, we're not great shakes this season.
No,
who knew?
So 14th last season, looked terrible, won 5 games all season, so could be like us. Also, they scored 25 goals all season, which is pleasingly the 14th in the table for goals scored as well. So nothing if not consistent. They have looked quite exciting this season.
Mm.
So 3 draws, a win against Opava, and a 2-5 loss to Sparta.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the fun stuff now?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they are 4-2-3-1 advocates. That's not fun, but they have aging Czech-Greek striker Michal Papadopoulos.
Oh, love that guy.
So you're aware of Michael Papadopoulos?
I'm aware of his work. He played in Germany for a bit.
Formerly of Bayer Leverkusen.
That's right, yes.
And thrillingly, he played 7 whole minutes for Arsenal against Wolves in the League Cup in February 2003.
What?
He went on loan. He was at, I believe he was at Banik Ostrava at the time. He went on a 6-month loan to Arsenal or something like that. It might have even been a year. And he made 1 bench and he had 7 minutes playing for Arsenal in the League Cup.
I would be a massive fan if he had been given the cursed Arsenal number 9 shirt.
Yeah.
You know, also the, you know, also given to, like, you know, Kim Kallstrom, mm-hmm. and that South Korean lad they got from Monaco who barely started. I bet he didn't, but that would be fun.
So they got him this season. He's 35, so he's long in the tooth. Pleasingly, he came. Do you know where he came from?
Give me a clue.
Polish.
Jagiellonia Białystok.
No, it came from Korona Kielce.
Huh, the irony, I like it.
So, yes, Juba Drame.
Yes.
His cousin, Sufjan, plays for them as well.
All right, fair
enough. So, yeah, as we've already mentioned, or we mentioned, I believe, in our preview about Victoria Pilsen, they lost Balois.
Mm-hmm.
And they also lost Andra Linger.
Do you have to sell Linger?
Yeah, so they lost it this summer. They've decided to replace them through loans.
Right.
The two loans look really good.
Uh-huh.
So, in two midfielders, they replaced. So they replaced them with Tomasz Ostrok, who's on loan from FC Köln.
Oh, nice.
So these guys are both like in their early 20s, something like that. And Christian Herz, Slovak,
uh-huh.
whose birthday is today, or yesterday even, the 30th. No, today's the 30th of September, yeah. Isn't it? So yeah, happy birthday to Christian Herz, who they've got from Wolves under 23.
No mugs then, the both of them, so, I would imagine.
Apparently they've been a very exciting team to watch actually this season.
That's annoying.
They got they lost today to Vlašim in the cup.
Right, yes.
But they are... their starting 11 had something like 180 minutes of football between them.
Right, okay.
Like, they were not taking it seriously. So this is going to actually be... like, if we were playing last season's Karvina...
Yeah.
Be reasonably confident. This time, like, I still think we can win... But we have to sort out this stuff at the back because we're just going to get ripped open by a bunch of young guys in midfield because, you mm-hmm. know, our young guys in midfield are quite good at doing that sometimes. So I am hesitant to predict a Zbrojovka win, but you feel that if we do not win, we're going to be in deep trouble.
Yes, I would agree with both of those sentiments, particularly seeing as we're at home as well and... Yeah, like, I mean, if you were the manager, you would absolutely mark this out, particularly coming into it in the form we're in now, as this has to be the one.
I'll tell you what actually annoys me, and I know that there was obviously, and this was, I'm assuming, the request of our club, playing on Sunday and not to play on Wednesday and move it to next week, the cup game with Vysočina Jihlava, which, for reasons of time, I'm just going to jump into now, okay. If that's cool. But... I would have, because I think we will beat Jihlava, because Jihlava, big fire sale, lost a lot of their good players that, to be honest, disappointed last season. And they've had a very average start to the league campaign so far in the second tier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially at home, we are very good against Jihlava at home. We're not so good away, generally. But I think we have enough to obviously beat a second tier team, especially one that's weaker than the team that we played yeah. last season and convincingly beat last time out. But that would have given you the sort of the boost.
It really I would, think. Wouldn't it? Yeah.
And we need a win from somewhere because we're not going to get over a hump until we have this boost. And next week, again, might be 3 points too late. But also, if we're going to be going to at least a month now where you cannot... be in the stadium watching a team, you're going to lose a lot of the backing that the supporters give a team
mm.
who are struggling up into a certain point. once you start I find this for most clubs, once you start routinely losing, like, the mood sours and things turn very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We saw it last time as well. So while there's still goodwill, we want people going in there backing the team and vociferously backing the team.
Yeah, so
I think these are going to be two huge games, not because I think that we're going to do well in the cup and should focus on it, but it's just going
really
to be a confidence
boost. Arse,
we need people to start scoring goals as well, I think. Yeah. I mean, we are, you know, scoring one or twos and stuff, but we need to be scoring one or twos or three without reply. And it could, these things could very easily come to goal differences and heads-to-heads at the end of the season, but you don't want to be in that position, because when it comes to that, heads-to-heads and stuff, that's then your very fine line between going down and staying up. Like, if we want to live up to the hype of Zbrojovka finishing 10th, as was predicted in some quarters, we're going to have to actually start doing something.
Yeah.
And that's going to end us on a very, very sour note, unfortunately. But there are still tickets on sale, I believe. A limited amount, as we have 2,000 tickets for Saturday's match against Karvina as a 4:30 kickoff. If you have a Zbrojovka season ticket, you will be guaranteed entry, and all the rest of the tickets will be up for sale online. I don't believe that there are tickets on the door. So if you do see this, please go onto the club's website, see if you can nab a ticket and come out and back the team at the weekend.
Indeed, yes. All those sentiments are repeated by me there. Thanks for listening, everyone. Follow us on all the social medias, on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and et cetera and so forth. Yeah, we will be back for you...
in a fortnight.
When we're back for you, yeah. And we're going to play you out with, well, the Hot or Not intro tune, which was She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain, but it's not that, obviously. It's something that references Garth Crooks. So we will see you when we see you.
Bye!
There is surely nothing worse than washing sips. There is surely nothing worse than washing sips. With the possible exception of being Garth Crooks, there is surely nothing worse than washing sips. Do you switch the kitchen light off with your chin? Do you switch the kitchen light off with your chin? When you're holding tea and toast and there's no one else about, do you switch the kitchen light off with your chin? When you're down beside the lake, you're bound to hear. When you're down beside the lake, you're bound to hear. When you're down beside the lake, you're bound to hear somebody say, careful now, that swan could break your arm. Before the gods that made the gods were born. Yes, before the gods that made the gods were born. Yes, before the gods that made the gods woke up and made the gods. That's when you got into, that's when you got into, yeah, that's when you first got into the manics.